This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us in this hour and is on the line right now, ready to go, is Ms. Kiva Landrum as a candidate for Orleans Parish DA as well. Ms. Landrum, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me, Newell.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. It is crazy times, for sure. I'm sure everyone is still scrambling, trying to get power and everything else. And so we really appreciate you joining us this morning. So why don't we get started this way? Let's allow you for a couple of minutes to introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kiva Landrum, and I am running to be our next district attorney in New Orleans. I am number 102 on the ballot. I am a New Orleans native. I graduated from Ursuline Academy, and then I went to Washington University in St. Louis for college and came back home to Tulane's law school. Immediately after law school, I went to work in the district attorney's office, working myself through the ranks of the office. And eventually realized that one day I would want to run for district attorney. And so it was imperative upon me to learn everything within that office so that I could then one day make that run. And then when Eddie Jordan was our elected district attorney and he decided to depart the office, I was asked by our local business leaders and community leaders to step up and serve in his space. And so I became the first female to ever act in the capacity of a district attorney in the state of Louisiana. After that, I decided to broaden my experience, and so I ran for judge in criminal district court, where I've held that position for the past 12 years until I decided to step away in July to run for district attorney this year. In 2018, I was selected by my peers to serve as the court's chief judge, and I held that position until January of 2020. And so, you know, I decided when looking at this in July that based on my experience, having been the only person in this race to ever prosecute a single case in criminal district court, having been the only person to ever advocate for victims and their family members, for families who've been affected by violent crime, and after knowing that I'm the only one who has formed partnerships with everyone in our criminal justice system, I knew that it was best for me to step up and run as our district attorney this year.
A number of the candidates, and I believe you at one point in time as well, talked about the notion of mass incarceration. Where do you stand on that as something, a policy initiative, or whether or not that will influence your charging decisions and things of that sort?
So what I can tell you, Newell, is what is going to always be at the very foremost of my decisions is the public safety of the citizens of New Orleans. And so that is going to be a focus for me and for my administration, making sure that we prioritize violent crime. What I also know is that, you know, we do want to have a system that is fair and that operates with integrity and transparency for everyone. And so there have been some policies that have unfairly led into mass incarceration. And so we will make sure that we enact policies that, you know, are fair to everyone. So when it comes to mass incarceration, in ways in which we have utilized, for instance, the sentencing enhancement, have some in some ways led to that unfair treatment. And so we're going to make sure that in everything that we do, we operate making sure that we're fair to everybody, but keeping our eye focused on the safety of the city.
But, you know, I hear that all the time. a lot. But the fact of the matter is you must agree that the sentencing enhancements have not been really utilized or exercised. That discretion has not been exercised that often by this previous DA.
Well, right. And so that is why we've got to kind of change how we utilize the sentencing enhancements, making sure that we use the right discretion in doing so. And so this is what I know, right? And having as served as a judge before, I know that, you know, judges have the experience, they have the insight when looking at cases, that they can make proper sentencing decisions. And so we don't always have to use those sentencing enhancements, especially on nonviolent offenders. Now, listen, I have made clear that I am going to reserve the right to use the sentencing enhancement when it involves the public safety of New Orleans. And so it may be a case, you know, I'm often drawn to, like, Al Capone, for instance, where, you know, what he was eventually convicted of was tax evasion and not all of the other things he was alleged to have done. And so sometimes that sentencing enhancement may have to come in place when there's someone that we know is a threat to the public safety of the citizens of New Orleans. However, you know, generally we wouldn't employ it, but in that case we would, because for me, everything is going to be about public safety.
And in so doing, you would be judging the offender then. I mean, you know, because what we hear a lot of times is that, well, this individual was charged with a nonviolent offense, but he's got a rap sheet that'll go from here to Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And, you know, with a whole host of convictions and obviously a lot of cases that were thrown out over the years for whatever reason that may be.
Well, right. What it's going to take is, you know, everything, you have to look at each individual person, look at those individual circumstances and make then those decisions. We can have general policy decisions, but there may be exceptions to the rule. And that is why when, you know, my opponents say they will never do this, they will never do that, then you cannot possibly be taking into account the public safety of the citizens of New Orleans, because that is why we have these laws in place. When the multiple offender statute was put in place, it was to protect our communities from the most violent criminals. And so when we look at it and use it in that form, then we are, in fact, making sure that we keep our eye focused on public safety. But when you make very definite sentences and statements that you would never use it, then that means that when public safety is an issue, then they're not opting to do that.
I hear this a lot, and this is kind of a two-part question.
Sure.
Do you believe that the multiple offender law is racist? And do you believe that the criminal justice system is systemically racist?
So when I talk about the multiple offender statute, I think as it was written, then it doesn't have race in it. However, I think that how it can be applied then can affect the race of, you know, of communities, right? I think that, and that is why we have to make sure we operate a system that is fair in how we're doing business. I think that in application, it has unfairly applied to certain communities more than others. And so that has not, and it hasn't helped us as a community and as a city, and it hasn't made us any more safe in that regard. I think the second part of your question was as to the criminal justice system itself.
Yeah, especially, I mean, in light of you're a black woman, you've been working in the criminal justice system and in the justice system for a long time. And
absolutely,
I can't in my wildest dreams ever believe that Kiva Landrum is going to promote racist ideology or practice or whatever within the criminal justice system.
I absolutely would not. And I have not. But I think that, you know, we can't ignore the fact that, you know, there have been instances where just in general, we have maybe over-policed certain neighborhoods where we have maybe, you know, applied some of these like sentencing enhancements to certain individuals in our community more than others. And so those are the types of things that we have to make sure and that I will ensure as our next DA that, you know, we have fair practices and policies that are fair to everyone in the community. But again, you know, if there are people in our community that are causing us to not be safe, then Kiva Landrum is going to make sure that I prioritize those people in those cases.
You would agree, though, that the black residents and minority residents of the city of New Orleans, they want the other race or ethnic group wants a safe place to live, work, and raise our family. when I hear that we're over-policing and we utilize tools, law enforcement's job is to catch the bad guy. So if the data reveals that crime is a disproportionate amount of crime is happening in a minority community, why would the police not go there?
Well, I don't think that's it. I think that, number one, we've got to make sure that we are collecting and keeping the right data, right? I think that for far too long, we haven't really utilized that data and looked at it. And as a system, the department, the police department, the DA's office, doing these things in conjunction. And so that is what I am going to make sure that we do. I agree with you. Every citizen, I believe, in New Orleans, no matter, you know, where you fall economically, racially, gender, wants to be safe. And I think that that is what every citizen deserves. And so that is why, you know, for me, my administration, we are going to support the police efforts, especially making sure that we focus on violent offenders in our community and to make sure that we make New Orleans a safe place. For me, my vision is this: prioritizing violent crime and those people that keep, inflicting violent crime upon the citizens of New Orleans. And so wherever that is in our community, whoever that is in our community, we are going to make that a priority and make sure that we work with the police to prioritize that.
Yeah, I mean, I get that that's an apparent priority for everyone, violent crime. One of the differentials, though, is how we deal with nonviolent crime that really has an impact on the quality of our lives within our community. And
right.
whether or not an individual supports the broken windows theory, whatever moniker you want to put to it, it doesn't really matter to me. But the fact of the matter is that the nonviolent crimes in many respects, they far outweigh, obviously, in number violent crimes. But those are the crimes that really impact the quality of our life more so than any other. The day-to-day stuff, the folks that will never come in contact with law enforcement or the judicial system, as a victim is impacted daily in the hundreds, if not thousands, of crimes. And so what is going to be your approach as it relates to nonviolent? Because what I hear from some progressive candidates, and I don't know if you consider mm-hmm. yourself progressive or not, is that contrary to legislative will, they've actually said it prior to even going into office that we're not going to prosecute this type of crime. We're not going to do this. We're not going to hold looters accountable or people that are not peaceful protesters that are actually rioting. We're not going to prosecute those cases either. And the disconnect for me is that we're willing to sacrifice and send out the men and women of law enforcement, the men and women of the fire department, the men and women of EMS, to risk their lives out there trying to enforce those laws, and then in the aftermath of it say, I'm not prosecuting that.
Well, I think this is it. You know, we can't just blanketly, and I won't blanketly say, if it's this type of crime, I'm never going to prosecute it. What I know is this. You know, I remember one of my opponents at some point said car burglaries are simply just a nuisance. And in fact, what we know is that is not the case. This is affecting our quality of life and our public safety, a lot of these car burglaries. We have homeowners and property owners who are, you know, engaging with those suspects. And so, you know, in one of the most unfortunate situations, and it led to a homicide case. And so you can't just take a nonviolent crime on its face and dismiss it. It is going to be important to look at each and every one of these situations and see how it affects the public safety of the citizens of New Orleans. And so generally, it may seem, you know, very mundane. However, it may then, upon looking at it, be something more. You know, I was on the phone on a Zoom call with homeowners associations, and they asked me about abandoned homes. And generally, that is something that is not within the purview of the district attorney. However, what I explained to them was, if in that abandoned home we have criminal activity going on and that is threatening the quality of life and the safety of everyone in your community, then I believe then that is a job for the district attorney to get involved in. And so for me, it is not making broad-based statements, because I think when you make those very broad-based statements, then you cannot be taking into effect into consideration the safety of New Orleans and the quality of life that everybody deserves.
What is your office's position going to be if you're elected on bail reform?
So, again, what I know is this. We need a bail system that, number one, is fair to everyone that gets involved, but also ensures the safety of the citizens of New Orleans. And so I believe that in order to achieve that, then that means everyone in the criminal justice system has to come together so that we can find that system that works for us. And then we can go to our state legislature and ask them to change the system. So one that ensures fairness, but also ensures safety. You know, the real test here is the balance. And making sure that we stay focused on keeping New Orleans safe. And what I can tell you, Newell, is that no one else in this race has the experience to do that. I am the only person in this race that has ever advocated for any victim or a family of victims who have experienced any crime in criminal district court. I'm the only person in this race that has ever prosecuted a case in criminal district court. In fact, one of my opponents has never tried a case as an attorney in criminal district court. And so I am the only one with the experience to make sure that we keep this balance and keep safety as our top priority.
We hear a lot about, you know, and we've seen this zero bail policy in New York. And it's an experiment that's alive and well and in my view, not going very well. And the outcomes have been crazy. And I think a lot of the citizenry there are pushing back on it. And a lot of it starts with what we coin as victimless crimes. And I'm always – my curiosity's always piqued there because I thought the community at large was the victim. And wasn't that the motivation and the legislative intent for a whole lot of statutes that we find within the criminal code?
Well, I mean, each case is going to be labeled state of Louisiana versus, you know, that individual. And so, yes, the state of Louisiana does, in fact, have an interest whether or not there was an actual victim to the crime. So that is absolutely correct. And that interest comes in making sure that, you know, as the jurisdiction that we are protecting, that it stays safe. And so that is why it's labeled that way. Because even when there's an actual victim, if it were you or I, it doesn't say, you know, Kiva Landrum versus an individual. Because the overall interest is keeping your community that you're charged with, you know, protecting very safe. And so that is why, you know, we see it labeled that way. And, you know, I think the thing is this. What we have to understand and make sure we focus on is that for those individuals that we can start addressing what are the root causes of maybe their criminal activity, if it's mental health, if it is substance abuse, then, you know, trying to make sure we link them with those services so that they don't come back into the criminal justice system. But for individuals that are threatening the safety of each and every one of us in New Orleans, then it is going to be about making sure that we move that case to the front and prioritize it so that, you know, we can be safe. And, you know, what I'll tell you is this, you know, as a judge, I am the only one in this race who had been noted for being an efficient judge, knowing how to prioritize those cases and move them through the docket. And there's no one else in this race that has that experience. And so I know what it means to make sure that these cases don't get backlogged, that we partner with our New Orleans Police Department so that we keep our eye on the overall goal, which is safety of our city.
All righty, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Kiva Landrum, a DA candidate for the Parish of Orleans. Stay with us, folks. We're back with Kiva Landrum. She's running for district attorney for the Parish of Orleans. And we've been asking a number of questions about the policies if elected to that office. Ms. Landrum, as it relates to police misconduct cases, what will be your office's approach?
Well, what I can tell you, Newell, is this. You know, my approach is going to be to support the police in every way that we can. However, we cannot protect the police when they're wrong. And so, you know, if the police do engage in police officer misconduct, we are going to independently review that and assess that case and make sure that we do it with integrity and transparency. You know, but overall, what I can tell you is that I know that the citizens of New Orleans, recently there had been a poll And, you know, they are pleased with the work that our police department is doing. And so I am looking forward to engaging and forming a partnership with our police so that we can do everything to ensure the safety of every New Orleanian.
In your, on your website, you talk about the creation of an independent unit staffed with experienced prosecutors and investigators to pursue these allegations of abuse. Do you feel like there's inherently a conflict with the DA's office in doing these, or is that something that you believe that your office can overcome?
Well, I definitely think we can overcome it. I think that, you know, the citizens of New Orleans, and not just here, but across our country, want transparency and integrity from investigations when it involves police officers. And so that we make sure that that happens, that is why that independent review unit will be there. It is just to make sure that those investigations have the integrity and the transparency that the New Orleanians deserve as we have to investigate those cases.
You also said that you will monitor and record repeated complaints of police misconduct. When a complaint is a complaint, you know that as well as anyone else. It doesn't mean that it has reached a conclusion. So what value is there in just the collection of complaints? I mean, typically, if I were to take an officer who's not in a proactive unit versus one who is, I would expect to see, and I did see as someone who managed police for a number of years, that there would mm-hmm. be more complaints in that role.
Well, absolutely. And so I think it is making sure that we work with our police department. If there's information that we received that they did not have, or seeing that if that was something that they had, but making sure that we work together in looking at that. Listen, agreed. A complaint is simply a complaint. It doesn't mean that it at any time has anything that stands behind it. However, if there are repeated complaints, then maybe that is something that together with the police department, if we notify them, that that is something that they need to look into to make sure that, you know, we are working, both of us, to the best of our ability and capability. It is going to be our priority to bring the best cases to court that we can. And so if there are sustained complaints, if there are numerous complaints, then it hurts the integrity and the credibility of our cases. And I know that the New Orleans Police Department does not want that, and that is not something that I want, because we want to be able to prosecute the best cases that we can.
What role will the victim play in the assessment of your cases that you decide to prosecute? I've read everyone's materials that they have had out on their website and listened to some of their speeches that they've given. Mm-hmm. And it's not often that I hear the victim, that word. I hear a lot about criminal justice reform. I hear about over-incarceration. I'm not hearing a lot about, you know, over-offending. And I'm not hearing a lot about victims' desires. I mean, you know, and whether or not they're going to play a role to articulate their opinion or position as to whether or not they want to see somebody go to jail. They want to see somebody pay the price.
Well, absolutely. And the fact is this, I think that throughout this whole campaign season, I am the only person that has focused on victims. And I know for a fact I'm the only person that has ever advocated with victims and for victims. And so I think if you look directly at my website, it says that we will seek justice. And it says justice for victims of violent crime and women who have been assaulted and abused. Because I recognize that that has got to be a priority, and it will be a priority for us. There is no one else in this race that has ever advocated with or for a victim. One of my opponents has spent his entire career dismantling the stories of victims, and the other one has never tried a case in criminal district court as an attorney. And so I think, that is pretty clear for me and my role that I've served as an assistant DA, as our DA. And so, building relationships of trust with victims so they feel comfortable coming forward and telling their story has always been my priority. You know, what I would suggest to you is that, my other opponents are coming after me. And so to me, it's going to be important to listen to what they say. They have the opportunity to hear what I'm saying. But I can tell you that, you know, the victim has always been a priority for me. And I don't know if anyone else has ever made that statement.
Do you have any concerns? I've seen a lot about diversion programs, and I'm an advocate of diversion. I think appropriately done, it can yield huge results for the community at large.
Correct.
My concern has always been it's inadequately funded, and we end up blowing up the whole rest of the system in the hopes that we're going to get something on the back end as it relates to these diversion programs, alternatives to incarceration. We've seen these, ideas and motives fail over and over and over again. Do you have that concern?
Well, I don't have that concern because what I know is that it's going to take partnering with everyone else in our community to get this done. The DA's office itself cannot sustain the entire diversion program on its own. So that means that we've got to form partnerships with things that already exist in our community, organizations, and with the help that exists. Because what we know is this, we have to separate the truly dangerous people in our community from those who simply need help. And for those who need help, we have to connect them with that help in our community and not just incarcerate them, because incarceration is extremely expensive and our community shouldn't have to foot the bill for that. And so it's going to be partnering with organizations and services that are already in existence. And that way we can make a sustainable diversion program. And that is my plan for our next DA's office.
Ms. Landrum, a minute for your final thoughts.
Well, I want to thank you, Newell, for this opportunity. I think that, you know, what we know is that it's going to take someone who has the experience, who has the leadership, the courage, and the compassion to do this job, and that person is me. No one else has the experience of ever prosecuting a case. No one else has ever been a judge and been noted for being an efficient judge in this race. And no one else has ever really placed the public safety of our New Orleanians as the top priority. And so that is what I plan to do as our next district attorney. And I'm number 102 on the ballot on Tuesday.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and best of luck to you on Tuesday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.